This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. All right, here we are. Things have escalated very quickly since the last episode. But, you know, it would be, I think it would, we don't want to harp on the virus too much in terms of the, I mean, we did a whole health episode on it last week in terms of how people can look after their immune system during it. But yeah, things have, well, actually for some things have gone better. Like obviously China's out of lockdown. Let's see how long it lasts. But if you haven't heard the latest reports, Australia is in lockdown. There has been a lot of stockpiling since then. But we did actually want to, you know, provide some, yeah, more positive information during this episode and not just be the doom and gloom, that seems to be going around. But what's your take on the news? Like, how are you absorbing the news? Because I've, you know, I sat at coffee with some people the other day and it was very mixed how people were absorbing their news. Some people, none at all. Some people, 24/7. What's your kind of approach?
Yeah, it's a challenge because we talked about it last time. The method I was going for was just once in the evening, I would like get a full download. And what you generally find is that when you go once, you realize, oh, it actually only takes 15, 20 minutes and you find out what's going on.
Yeah.
But things have escalated, I would say, as of Sunday, where now it's almost like if you don't check in on the news by the afternoon, you're like way behind.
Mm.
And like, you know, even stuff that affects our businesses has happened by the afternoon. So there's like almost a mandatory checking and investigation of the news.
Yeah.
Which like what happened to us, you know, they were like, oh, 48 hours shut down. Okay, cool. I got 40 hours to get my act together. And then next morning, it's like, no, you've got 6 more hours.
Yeah.
You're gonna be closed by midday. So, man, it's pretty crazy. There's a certain amount, like you do have to check the news if you're you run a business or you do fitness or you're affected by it.
Yeah. Yeah, for those of you listening overseas, you're all in probably different situations, but we, Australia locked out. They kind of did this stage one, stage two, stage three sort of lockdown process. We're in stage one now, which means that gyms have been shut down. Gyms are officially closed, which, you know, I definitely agree with, but you know, what I don't agree with is they've still allowed hairdressers and beauticians to stay open. That's fully hands-on. That seems ridiculous.
Yeah, also, I do think, and I know the Fitness Australia guys arguing for it, but they have put gyms really far down on the list of essential services. It's like, oh, this is like one of the first things we can just get rid of, you know?
Yeah, well, but that's how most people view the gym.
Which I understand, but I mean, there's so many nuances to a gym, and people like still rolling in for haircuts and stuff, but people can't get trained one-on-one with their trainer.
Yeah.
You know, maybe isn't the right call for people's health.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a tough one. I mean, there are some countries, I know the UK this morning just went into full lockdown. So, they're basically, the only thing you can do is go out once a day to the park and do some exercise. And if you are seen with a gathering of more than 2 people, it's going to get broken up, which is crazy. Like, if you bump into someone, start talking to them, there's like husband and wife, your husband and wife, you'll get officially supposed to break you guys up. But I think probably the craziest part is just like the stockpiling. Mm. It's like people just going out. So one of the things I was thinking was like probably the thing that will, because people worry about losing their gains, right? That's of course probably the one thing.
I mean, worldwide fear around gyms right now.
Yeah, besides people not being able to lift weights. By the way, the amount of bodybuilders that are going to have to start doing cardio, they're going to freak. So I think for a lot of people, obviously the training, that's one thing we'll get to later, but for the stockpiling of food, which I don't really think you should be stockpiling. If you look at the statistics on the Western world, we have 3 times as much, we produce 3 times as much food as we actually need. Right now, it's just a logistics issue. So we've just been told, hey, stop stockpiling in your house because we can't fill the shelves fast enough. So just take what you need, but obviously people don't listen. I can't tell you the amount of conversations I've had with people where they go to the supermarket to get 2 things, they see the panic that is there, and they walk out with all this stuff that they don't need. I've heard that story probably 10 times.
Man, I went to the shops, haven't been for a long time because I always do online delivery, and I'm like, maybe I should just get some pasta. All the pasta was gone. Like, it was all gone. I never buy pasta.
Yeah.
But yeah, obviously people somehow think pasta is the ultimate food in a survival mechanism state.
I guess where you've got, when you go there, it just seems like this is it. Like, it's all running out. Like, this is the worst it's going to get.
I went and I honestly did not stockpile anything. There was no toilet paper and stuff, honestly. I did crack a little bit and I did stockpile some Quest bars.
Oh, okay.
Took about 15, 20 off the shelf.
15 to 20
And I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. They could close the stores. I want enough for a few weeks.
No, they don't, they're never going to close the stores.
Just a fear I have.
Yeah.
Imagine if they did.
Yeah. Well, they won't. I mean, people have to eat.
What if there's a supply issue?
Nah, dude. Nah, don't be ridiculous. Nah, the food thing is fine. But it won't be if you keep taking 15 quest bars at a time.
I'm the only person. They were flush with quest bars. Obviously, people don't think they're important.
Yeah. The only reason I would take a little bit of extra food is just so I don't have to keep going back to the supermarket because it's just manic. But, you know, probably the one thing I'd be stocking up on if I looked at all the items in my house and I was just strategically thinking, okay, what am I going to need the most of if we go into a full lockdown? And lean sources of protein is the big one. And the longest lasting lean source of protein is whey. Like, if you think about it, of the non-perishable, like all meat's perishable, right? You can put it in your freezer, but eventually your freezer gets full. But you can go through a freezer full of meat. Like most people have just a regular size freezer in there that sits on top of their fridge or whatever. You can go through that in a week. It doesn't last very long. But whey protein, if you're having two scoops a day, yeah, that can last you 3 or 4 weeks at least, if not a month. So that's definitely what I would be stocking up on is whey protein for sure. And so obviously True is our choice. And they got all different types of protein sources and stuff there. They got like a nighttime protein. They got like a weight loss protein. They put some stimulants and stuff in it, which is all good. But right now, I think like whey is your best bet. You can just get creative with it. You can mix it in. You can do like if you go whey in a bowl with a little bit of water, and you stir it around, it's like a really nice kind of chocolate paste or whatever flavor you've got with for dipping strawberries into. So you can get creative. You don't just have to drink protein shakes all day. You can mix it in with other stuff. You can even do, I know they've got the mug cake as well. But yeah, I would be stocking up on like really high quality, non-perishable sort of supplements.
Yeah, that now is the time. And I also would generally find that you're doing a bit less activity. I think most people are doing this time as well. And you know, one of the safest bets you can make is just increase your protein macros. You're probably going to decrease your carbs and fat slightly.
Yeah.
Because you're not just burning as much energy and you want to maintain as much muscle mass as you can while you're not lifting heavy for the foreseeable future.
And it's more satiating.
Mm.
It's a much more satiating macro. Yeah, I would be avoiding excess carbs, that's for sure. Because carbs make you more hungry.
Yep.
I would not be eating any processed sugar because, yeah, it makes you more hungry. It doesn't help to regulate your appetite at all. It just makes you crave more and more. And it's just all this energy you can't burn off. It's just like unnecessary. So I think that for a lot of people, they're in a position where they might have to, they might be looking to build some kind of a new routine or maybe make some nutritional changes. I think a lot of people don't want to hear it, but I think it would be a great time for people to give up caffeine.
Mm.
You know, that's the opportunity. A lot of coffee shops are open, are closed, you know, only takeaway. A lot of people don't want to go outdoors and, you know, do you really need that much stimulation right now from coffee? Obviously, it's going to be tough.
Only exception I would make is important to keep...
Can you get the door for the dog?
Keep supporting your local coffee store, even if you go and order decaf.
Yeah.
But that is important because you want it to be around when it's all over. But yes, I would be stockpiling. You can go to True Protein, use our code MyMuscle10. They're still delivering. I think they've had like a huge increase in orders, but they're working... Literally, they said round the clock, I think, in the factory. Not like round the clock during the day, I think. The clock. Like
24/7.
To be delivering, which is awesome. But yeah, we want to talk about obviously what's happening with the gyms. Here they're locked down. From what I can see in the States, most are locked down. My prediction is...
In New York and LA.
For sure, yeah.
I don't think the other states are being affected right now.
Well, I think most... From what I've seen, it's like most gyms definitely have some sort of pretty big effect. But I don't know if they're in self-isolation. But if my prediction is on it, and I think if you're waiting for the gyms to reopen really soon... I think you could be misled. I think it seems like this is going to be set in for quite a long time. In Australia, they've lumped us all together with like nightclubs, people sitting in restaurants. So they've really lumped us into the most non-essential gatherings I think you could possibly lump us into, which is the call they've made. So I couldn't imagine until this is completely under control, they're going to say, yep, open up. You guys can like all start gathering in these indoor spaces.
Mm.
You know, because imagine how bad the publicity would be if they did that. People rushed in because like, I haven't been to my favorite restaurant and gym for months and it got really bad again.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine them opening up gyms in general for quite a long period.
Yeah.
I mean, you just saw what they said in China, right? We want to see no cases, not a single new case for 30 days in a row.
Wow.
We are a long way off seeing those sort of results.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my biggest fear for the fitness industry is because if you think about I mean, really, when you get into the fitness industry, for the majority of people, I'd say 90% of people, I mean, when I started, you know, and I was getting into fitness, I was 16 in high school. That was when I first started, ironically, at the home gym at the back. You know when, man, it'd be hard to know if I would get into fitness as hard as I did without my dad's weight set. Like, he's got that old school weight set with the tiny, you know, the bench press where the bench is so narrow and the arms, like the arms holding the bar in place are so narrow that when you take the bar out of the rack, your hands are actually wider.
Yes.
Then
I had exactly the same set.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone knows
that. I had the 50 kilo weight set I got when I was 13.
Yeah.
And yeah, like my, because I was very short, my arms were like not long enough to go on the outside of it. So, but the rack is so thin that it was always this whole juggling act of trying to not get my fingers pinched in between the bar and the rack.
Fuck. Yeah, it's a dodgy setup. I don't know if I had 50 kilos. Yeah, no, because I couldn't lift all the weight that he had. And like, you know, the weights are all basically like, I don't know, a diameter of like maybe 6 inches. And
pin loaded.
There's just so many of them of all different sizes. And I think the max I could load on the bar was maybe like 50 kilos. I remember I couldn't lift it. And anyway, so that was like how I got into the first lifting of the weights. But it looks like we might have to regress to something like that, back to that old school home gym. But I mean, the main thing I'm worried about is like, for the fitness industry, I mean, we're 90% contractors, you know? And
casual staff, contractors.
And I think we're 90% people, like probably under the age of 30. I think it's changed a bit, but you're looking at contractors that are not, like, haven't been doing it for very long. So obviously they haven't saved a lot of money, or they might not have established, you know, a really good book of clients, or maybe set themselves up like a savings, like a good stockpile of cash. I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of the people that end up in the welfare line might be from the fitness industry, unfortunately. I know of a few gyms already that have let all their staff go, which is unfortunate. But we need to be resourceful. We need to band together. We need to help each other. I mean, my predictions are, speaking to some of the previous guests we've had on the show, just, you know, shooting some DMs, just checking in on everyone. And a lot of them are predicting, you know, there will be, obviously, as there is, as there already was, a big movement to the online. I think most trainers are going to be thinking now, okay, if I don't have some kind of online offering in the future, I'm going to be vulnerable if I'm only in person. So it always pays to be, and you know, I think this will always be a trend in the future, is to be on top of technology, to understand how to use stuff like TikTok, how to use Instagram, how to use online meeting centers. Like, you can't ignore these things. We're in a digital world, and having the skills, like the digital skills right now, to know how to do digital marketing, to know how to set up websites, to collect, you know, emails and send out mail outs, even, you know your way around the back end of YouTube and uploading videos, all that stuff, all those skills, they're so important. And right now, more than ever, I think people that don't have those skills are really regretful that they're not able to deliver fitness online, probably in the best way possible. So, I would definitely encourage anyone who is in the fitness industry right now and is sort of doesn't really have their head around this sort of stuff, is to get some online skills. Learn how to build a website. All right, Squarespace, Wix, I don't know what some of the other ones are, but they're really easy to use. And you just got to spend a few hours just playing around with them. Spend a few hours on a YouTube channel on the back end, editing videos. Like, this can't be the first time that you've opened up like a good video editor on your computer. It's kind of just like survival of the fittest right now. So, you know, it sucks to see some gyms closing or potentially closing in the future. But, you know, it is what it is. I think that, you know, it's like waking up and trying to fight your reality every day. I think we were having this conversation, but the best thing you can do is to control your internal environment. And that starts with accepting the way things are. If you wake up every day and you want things to go back to the way that they were, that means your waking hours is a struggle, because you're fighting your reality rather than accepting it for what it is. And I think John Berardi actually put up a pretty good post the other day where he talked about, because he was suffering from, you know, this same kind of depression, anxiety that everyone's kind of going through right now. And he said, okay, I'm gonna take out a piece of paper. I'm going to write on the piece of paper everything that the coronavirus has taken away from me. So he writes out this whole list, and he like looks at it. He lets it sink in for a few minutes, and then he burns it. And he watches it burn. And then he writes a new list, And it's like everything the coronavirus did for me. And it was stuff like I get to spend more time with my family. I get to be more involved in my kids' learning. You know, obviously they're not in school. So stuff like that. And then even like I need more creative ways to work out with without a gym. And so he put that list up and he's like, you know, these are all the things that it's given me and all the stuff I can focus on. And I think that's really where we've got to be at. The people that I see handling this the best, they're just kind of accepting the way things are and they're just doing what they can with what they got versus the people that are just like, oh, you know, it's not that bad. It's not going to get worse. You know, things are going to go back to the way they are very soon. You know, just living in that state of just not accepting how things are. And man, I see that crossover, that psychological phenomenon also crosses over a lot with people and their training and their bodies. You know, I think when people come into the gym for the first time and they want to sign up, you know, the conversations that we have with new clients coming into the gym, it's about, okay, I've accepted where I'm at. I woke up and I realized, hey, I'm out of shape. I'm unhealthy. My knees hurt. My back hurts. I need help. They've finally reached that tipping point. And that's when you can make the most changes. That's when you can actually make a difference and help yourself. Is not denying. I mean, how many people live in denial of their health, right? Oh, my health's not that bad. Nah. We know from the research, people always underreport calories. They don't underreport. They underestimate how many calories they eat in the day. Oh, it's probably like this much or this much, this much. And then they finally put it down on paper and they're like, oh my God. Or they think how much exercise and walking and stuff they do in a week or how much sleep. Sleep's probably a big one. That was sleep. I thought for sure I got 8 hours minimum a night. I don't think since I've had a Whoop band, I reckon I've slept 8 hours maybe five times. Mm. Maybe five times.
Like actual sleep on the Whoop band.
Yeah, like I've been in bed longer than 8 hours, but a full 8 hours sleep is so hard. It's so hard. So
never happened.
We accurately can't tell. So it is helpful to kind of bring awareness to those things. And that's just how I think everyone should be right now. Like that, then rather be in denial. I think otherwise it sucks. You know, it sucks way more. But yeah, that's just how it is. Speaking of that,
I think it is a good opportunity to use so much of like the mental fortitude you've learned doing exercise and doing workouts, because it kind of reminds me, particularly with stuff like endurance, when as soon as you're in the middle of it and you're just waiting for it to be over, like you're in big trouble.
Mm.
It's like, how long? And then, you know, those people that get broken so much when it's like goes a bit longer than they thought.
Mm.
And you can see it on their face, right? Whereas the people that I think are just not focusing on how long, but just forgetting about how long there is to go and just being like, oh, this is where I am right now. And, you know, enjoying or just like focusing on the actual moment, so much more successful.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I remember one of the strategies I used to use in the Hurt Locker during some workouts was as the time approached, if I was doing a workout and, you know, you're doing an AMRAP of movements and you're getting into like sort of the last 30 seconds and it's like the pain's really starting to kick in. I always used to tell myself, I'm like, okay, it's still an extra minute to go after this. You've made a mistake. You've got to hold on. So rather than like, because everyone will tell you, like in the last 10 seconds, 5 seconds of a workout, seems like time, especially when you're in a tremendous amount of pain, seems like time just goes really slow. And this is the longest 5 seconds of my whole life. But I used to tell myself, hey, you're still going for a minute after this. So like buckle down, like hold on for another minute. And every single time it just made me finish stronger. But it just, the way it flipped a switch in your mind is like, hey, I can't get that way yet because I still have a minute of this. And mentally you kind of set yourself in to kind of go a bit longer. And that was a little strategy I used to use and it was actually pretty helpful. And you even take it down to like a set, right? If you get to like 10 reps and you're like, nah, I have to do 2 more after this, even though you're not going to, you get to 10 more easily. Yeah, you kind of unlock that other level. But anyway, speaking of training, obviously there's like tons of home gym workouts going on. It's so interesting seeing different kind of interpretations of it. And like different trainers taking their approach on it. And look, I think that, you know, my stance is that if you're doing something, if you're moving, if you're like, you know, heating the body up, if you're sweating, it doesn't really matter too much. I know Eugene put up a post. It seems to me like he's becoming more and more controversial. He put up a post of like, stop doing jumping lunges and stupid shit like that. And he was saying he had his exercise set up. I don't know if you saw the videos. Such a Eugene move. He's got He's got people doing like a, basically like a hack squat setup, right? So they've got a band around their feet, up around their neck, right? So like the setup you do for Band of Good Mornings. They're up against the wall. They've got a foam roller on their back. So like as they squat down, the roller like rolls up and down the wall with them. They've got their heels elevated and they're holding weights in their hand. So anything like milk jugs, water, actual weights, whatever you want to do. And they're doing like tempo hack squats up and down the wall. And it looks crazy effective, right? But if you think about his setup, it's just so elaborate compared to like, you could just do an air squat, you know, like you could,
yeah,
you know, but he's just, he's obviously so scientific and he's like, has his ways of doing things and that he just wants to be so different that he's like, look, if you're going to go and do home gym, home workouts, like you're doing the most perfect elaborate setup possible. Whereas you got other people who are like, hey, like let's do the 30-day push-up challenge, yeah, like as many push-ups as you can. So I wrote some workouts as well. I think we put the post out. I think we're putting it out today. I just wrote 30 days. So 30-minute workouts for 30 days. And I broke it up into sweat, skill, core, strength, and ISO, which is isometrics. So a bit of variety there. Actually, for the skill stuff, it's actually kind of fun. I put on one of the days is like you have to learn six-step. Six-step is a breakdancing move. It's like the foundational breakdancing move, and there's a video in there to learn it. I can be pretty...
Like, now's good, the time for that.
Yeah, good fun for a lot of people. There's all kind of stuff mixed in there. But anyway, what we do have a question on some of the home training stuff, but what are you thinking like is going to be the move for a lot of people?
Yeah, I think when a time like this where so many like good things are get taken away from you, you've got to go to a type of training you enjoy. And it can be a really good break to like always be pushing after like the hard thing or the program you're on and just... Don't try and maybe make your workout fit that program as best you can and then be like, oh, it's like not what I should be doing. I think sometimes you got to completely throw it out and go for something you really enjoy that's going to work really well for the circumstances you've got. So maybe that's like tons of running training. Maybe it's like really diving in on like your handstand training. Maybe like I've actually always wanted to put time in my mobility, but I always just end up doing heavy squats instead. I'm going to put time into it for a lot of people. And that stuff you can actually train to the best you can possibly train it. You're not missing out on any equipment for stuff. In fact, you're probably going to get far better results on your mobility than you ever do because you're not doing heaps of heavy lifting, which is kind of constricting it, right? And you can put more time into it in a day. So it's like the ultimate opportunity to get the best possible progress you can in that domain of fitness. So I think trying not to like keep it as much as it was before, but instead just maybe switching gears because life is like completely changed and going after that, you'll get a bit more enjoyment.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I would encourage people to just do a completely new routine. I think so many people are stuck in the mindset of, oh, you know, I only do this much training for 1 hour a day in the gym. And now it's just the time to like break all those barriers.
Completely different. You might do like 5 minutes of working out every couple of hours, spread out over the day.
Man, a guy ran a marathon on a 7 meter balcony in France.
What?
Seven.
Around the balcony.
Well, yeah, he just ran back and forth, up and down. He ran a marathon, 7 meters at a time. In France. I mean, that's some psychotic shit. But yeah, I mean, people are getting creative out there. People are just bored, right? So anything to kind of curb the boredom. And other things I would look for people to add into is meditation. I think now more than ever, having that calm state of mind, which meditation is obviously famous for, and especially because a lot of people know about the benefits of meditation these days, have never done it. So what I would encourage you to do, go on YouTube, type in meditation music and just click whatever the first one is. And that will kind of get you in the zone. Pull up a chair, just sit in a nice comfortable position, close your eyes, and then just see how long you can go for. See how restless you get and just try and do it for like 20 minutes a day. And you will notice a massive difference in your kind of just low level anxiety that follows you around every day. It's a very, very useful tool. Man, sometimes you can do a meditation session that's so effective that you almost feel like you don't need to meditate for like another 3 days. That's how effective they can be. So I'm getting back into it now. I feel like it's a really good time for it, especially because, you know, your mind's just going to do crazy things in this sort of time. So really good opportunity for you to kind of to get back into that. Before we're getting into the listener questions, actually, one thing that popped up, and I'm not sure how everyone feels about this, but I'm going to tell you how I feel about it. The delivery giants of the world, the Uber Eats, the Deliveroos, DoorDash, what else?
There's a really big Chinese one that I'm skipping the name of, but I see it everywhere.
Easy?
I think it's something like that, yeah. And it's apparently it's like bigger than Uber Eats.
Right. So these companies, I don't know if you guys know this, you might not be in hospitality, but they take 30 to 35% of every sale. So, right, so say you order a $10 cheeseburger, $5 of fries, and $5 drink. It's an expensive drink. $20 meal. Now, of that $20, they're going to take 30%. So in this case, they're going to take $6 from that meal, right? And then they're going to charge you a delivery fee, which I don't know how that gets split up, but of the meal, that's what gets... So the restaurant, you know, their margins go down by 30%. So they only take from what's on top of that for themselves and then that. So they're not taking that much, which is really, really disappointing to begin with. But, you know, it's obviously a great service and then it does have secondary benefits. People might try your food for the first time and then they might become a long-term customer and they might visit the store. So you're kind of weighing those things up. But now we're in a position where they're not allowing people to sit in restaurants. And so they're only doing takeaway. And so the industry has kind of called for these delivery giants to be like, hey, please keep serving us. Please keep delivering. But we're hurting right now. So can you take 30% to 20% or 30% to 10%? And these companies have, you know, these are billion-dollar companies. They can definitely afford to cut it for a little bit. And if you put this kind of pressure on the hospitality industry, on your restaurants, on your bars, on your takeaway joints, they might not be there. You know, so you're kind of hurting your supply chain. So I would encourage you, if you do eat a lot from restaurants, but you do use those apps a lot, is you can call up those stores, place your order, and then ask for a 5 to 10% discount and go pick it up yourself. So you'll get the discount. It'll actually be cheaper for you. It'll just cost you, you know, the time to just kind of drive there. So I think it's probably a good idea to take a bit of a stance on that, especially if you want to support some of your favorite local restaurants and their owners. It's definitely a good idea to do that right now.
Yeah, it's a really, any way you can support, I think it'll make you feel a lot better. Just doing these small things for the local businesses. And I was just seeing on the news that Uber Eats has waived the fees in the UK since it got really crazy there. So until the end of March, they waived it, which is awesome because, yeah, I mean, they're probably doing well because so many people are jumping on the service, right? That are going to stay on it. So I think it's a pretty fair trade.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, before we get into these listener questions, we absolutely fucking love our Rec Gen gear that we've been wearing. I know a lot of you guys that listen to it have checked them out and said how cool the gear is. It's easily the best apparel company, athleisure wear company going around on the men's side right now. They do not have a women's line just yet. It is coming out in April. I'm not sure if things will get delayed on that front. But I do know Chinese manufacturing is back and it's working. I'm messaging Luke, who works for Rec Gen, who's their head designer, and he said, things are as usual. We're still delivering. We're still manufacturing. So that's good. But one of the things that I think obviously most people have started to get concerned about is, you know, gyms are pretty dirty places, to be honest, despite all the increase.
They've got a lot cleaner in the last 2 weeks.
they have increased their cleaning. But I think one of the main concerns is like obviously just the sweat that's left everywhere. That concerns a lot of people. RecGen's gear is, you know, I was messaging Luke. I was like, hey, you know, we're going to be doing some ads. There anything specific that I can mention about the RecGen gear? Obviously, it looks great. We know that. If you've seen it on Instagram, it's some of the best looking gear out there. He said, oh, we have in every piece of gear, we have antimicrobial fabric. So basically all that means is when you're lying on a bench and there's fucking coronavirus on the bench, you're way less likely to pick it up in the apparel that you got versus there's definitely some apparel. If you sweat in it and you leave it in your bag and you pull it out, it smells like the end of the world. You want to light it on fire and throw it off the balcony. But with gear like this, you put it in your bag, you sweat in it, and then you take it out. That smell is bacteria. RecGen gear doesn't smell like that, because it's antimicrobial. So it means the bacteria doesn't stick to the fabrics, which is great when you've got, you know, invisible diseases flying around, all sorts of gross stuff. You want to be in antimicrobial gear. So it's kind of like wearing a little mini athleisure wear hazmat suit. That's the way I'm looking at it. So you can feel a little bit safer with your kind of RecGen gear in a gym.
Yeah, now is the time. And I've been giving mine huge, huge workout because we've been doing park workouts and like the grass and stuff just falls off it so easy. Like you need something strong.
Yeah.
Walking around the streets right now in a sweaty shirt is like, it's not socially acceptable.
Not great. So guys, recgen.com, RecGen.com. And then the code is MMP, and that's still valid for 20% off. It won't be for much longer. So if now's the chance to get some new training gear, throw out that old stuff that doesn't protect you from viruses. It's a funny ad. But yeah, check it out, recgen.com.
Cool. All right, we've got some good listener questions. First one is from TFE_athlete. Good air bike workouts, ? I will give one point on this, which is having done a lot of air bike, I will say that if you want to get better at it, following a program rather than doing random workouts is going to be much more effective on it. I've done lots of random workouts and they're fun. But if you ever like dive in on some sort of 12-8-week program where it goes, I've done ones that start with like high intensity springs, work up to longer pieces, going from like 10 seconds all the way up to 90 seconds. I've done like the way longer stuff as well. You get some pretty crazy results on that. So I would really implore you to, rather than looking for some good air bike workouts during this time, maybe you got one at home, try and find like a proper program that lasts like 6-12 weeks and rip into that. And I think you'll see a lot better results. And if you're lucky to have one at home, now is the time to kill it.
Yeah.
Okay. Arm Miller, 7181. Benefits of ISO holds and how to incorporate into workouts. And 2, favorite exercises with gymnastics rings for home workout routines.
Yeah, the isometric holds are probably the most underutilized contraction in training. So for anyone listening that's not really sure what ISO means, it's just short for isometric. And isometric is just it's where you're not moving. So when you're just holding the position, and they're extremely valuable, and they can still, the research still shows that they can induce muscular hypertrophy, so they can grow muscle, they can increase your strength, but how to incorporate them into training programs is kind of really nuanced. A lot of people, obviously, when they think about training, they're really just thinking about either can positive movement or negative movement, so just contracting, shortening the muscle or lengthening the muscle. But holding it in a single position is extremely useful. And there is a way, I'd say the easiest way for most people to add it in is to just add it into the normal movement. So if you did a bicep curl, you know, you can contract up to the top of the movement. You can hold at the top for 10 seconds and then you come back down. Or you can do a set where maybe you hold it at the top for 30 seconds, just squeezing, and then you do a set of 10 afterwards. So those are great ways to incorporate it. But if you were to do it, basically, for example, that 30 workouts that I was talking about, how I've incorporated on the isometric days is holding some positions that are extremely difficult. So, for example, one of them is the rear foot elevated split squat, and you're holding with your knee just off the ground for 30 seconds. So that's like a really, really difficult movement, but you're doing it in the weakest part of the movement. So generally, in a rear foot elevated split squat, the hardest part of the movement is when you're coming out of the bottom of it. So that's why I'm getting people to hold just with the knee off the floor to build strength and stability in that position. And so when you then move through a normal rear foot elevated split squat and your back knee touches the ground and you're coming back up, you're going to feel a lot stronger because you've spent time there. Most people spend fractions of a second in the most difficult position of a movement. So break down wherever the most difficult position of movement is and add in isometric holds there. And you can just do that for your training for the day. So if you have push-ups, for example, obviously the hardest part is the bottom. So you just hold yourself off the floor for say like 30 seconds and do a couple of those holds. And that'll improve your strength and it grows muscle as well. Like gymnasts, male gymnasts, some of the biggest shoulders ever, they mostly do holds. They do a lot of holds, you know?
Yeah, the holds are so good for, they work for all movements exactly like you said, but the reason I love them for bodyweight gymnastics training is just because often the full movement is like too challenging. It's just too hard, you know, and it's hard to like take the weight away. So if you're doing training like handstands and chin-ups and ring work and dips, it's like very quickly it's either too difficult to do a lot of reps on and you get too tired and your positions look horrific, or it's just too hard, full stop. So training all the different movements, top of the handstand, bottom of the handstand, top of the ring dip, bottom, top of the chin-up, crazy effective.
Yeah, I remember we did that cycle on training plan. This was, what was that, 2015?
Yeah, it's probably like 5 years ago. We used to do nearly an hour of just isometric holds. So we'd start with like hollow holds, arch holds, go into all the ring dip holds, top and the bottom, even the middle. We'd do top of the chin-up holds.
No, we'd never do the middle.
Yeah, we do middle of the ring dip hold. One of the hardest ones. So you do top, turn the rings out, you do the bottom, and you also do the middle.
No, we never did the middle. No.
Okay, I did the middle.
I'm betting my life's wealth on it. There's no way. No, it was top. It was rings turned out and rings at the bottom.
Yeah, anyway, my program, I did the middle.
I added the middle. And what else did we do? So chin up. Did we do Did we do pull up? Rope climb?
We didn't do holds on. Oh, we did. I don't think we did holds on the rope climb. I've had in my program before bent arm rope pull hangs and straight arm rope pull hangs.
Pistols?
Bottom of the pistol.
Bottom of the pistol. We definitely had bottom of the pistol. What else did we add the holds in? I think that was mostly it. There were some difficult positions. But yeah, it's still hard training. Yeah, it's still really effective training. But yeah, people, it's just difficult to program it because most people aren't thinking about it.
Mm.
Yeah, once you start thinking about creative ways to put it in, it's a great way to mix up your training and still get a lot of benefit.
Okay, the Blairy Dog. What are your thoughts on Australia pulling out of the Olympics? Do you think they should postpone them so everyone can attend with less risk of the China virus? I don't think we actually pulled out. I think they were just like, guys, be realistic here. You're not going to be doing the Olympics this year. Start getting ready for next year.
Yeah.
Which sounds like definitely what will be the case for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just the way it is. I don't know what else you can do. I bet there'll be a lot of coaches refiguring their four-year training cycle to make it work for another year.
It's that same thing I talked about earlier. It's accepting the way things are and realizing, okay, Olympics probably not going to be on this year. Now it's time to pivot and do what you need to do. You know, so, you know, you're thinking, oh, you know, I spent 4 years peaking for this event. I'm in perfect condition, blah, blah, blah. So was everyone else. Mm. You know, so that's just the reality. So it's just time to readjust and get ready for whenever they have it in the future. So I think the athletes that will perform the best when it does come back on are the exact people that accepted, you know, they'll be on the screen and that's everything they're going to be asked. You know, you won the gold. What happened? You know, obviously the virus came in. How were you looking for 2020? And what did you do to get ready for 2021? You know, how did you get out of that, you know, that state we were in? They'll say something like, oh, you know, just, you know, these things happen and, you know, we sat down with the coaching team, we made a new plan and we just moved on and we got ready. And, you know, they didn't whinge and get upset and pull out and do anything stupid. They just reset and they just moved the marker. So the athletes that deal with that the best, I'm telling you, they're all going to get interviewed. They're all going to say that same thing or 100%. Something along those lines.
There was going to be a flurry of good sport to watch once this is over. Flurry. Catching up so much sport.
Absolute flurry.
DM Strawn 83, really good question. Tips for developing new short-term nutrition habits. Example, I used to prep my meals and leave the house all day. Now I sit right next to my fridge and pantry.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are going through with this. I think a lot of people use it as an excuse so they get a bit stressed and they like eat way worse food than they normally would eat. It's kind of like the thing on birthdays. People think calories don't count on your birthday. Now people are extending this to a whole coronavirus, like, yeah. You know, calories don't count in a lockdown, which, like, I don't know, if you're in the middle of a war, probably I would get, but this is going to be for ages. So if you take that attitude into the next few months, you're going to get really down and out and really depressed because you're going to be in pretty average shape by the end of it.
Yeah, I saw this question. It was what I was alluding to earlier, but I would keep all... I mean, the temptation is to keep lots of non-perishable foods in your house, which is processed foods, right? If that is the case, and you're a bit of a doomsday prepper, a bit of a hoarder, which is perfectly understandable in these times, don't hoard anything with sugar in it. Because like I said, sugar is specifically designed to hack your brain, so it disrupts your hunger signals. Basically, what it's doing is it's telling you that you're still hungry. So that's the same way you can get through a whole box of, you know, Fruit Loops and be ready to open the second box of Cocoa Pops. So avoid all sugar at this time, okay? So if you are getting preserved foods, non-perishable foods, look to things like nuts, like dried fruits.
Bags of oats, killer at this time.
Oats, what other stuff is useful? You could even get protein bars.
Dried meats, beef jerkies.
Yeah, supplements, like I mentioned before. You can even get like oils and that. But consuming protein is going to be the best idea because it's the most satiating. It will keep you the leanest. It will preserve the most amount of muscle mass. Reducing, you'll get the natural fats from the meat. So you won't have to eat excess fats. So lots of protein, lots of vegetables, keep your immune system up, get extra sleep. That's going to be important. But in terms of, the making the habits, keep processed foods to a minimum, keep all sugar out of the house because you will just snack on it. Mm. It's just going to be too tempting. And you'll just eat too much of it. In terms of your timing and stuff, just try and stick to like a pretty rigid schedule. Every time you're trying to break that schedule, then you'll probably find that you'll just it'll get out of control. So my advice would be to drink water if you get those cravings. if you know you know you can't eat till midday and you're just twiddling your thumbs and you're out and you're bored, people are just going to be eating out of boredom. So I'd encourage you to drink water. So quite often we go for foods that we don't need simply because we're dehydrated, and our body knows there's water in foods, and so it will eat the foods disguised as hunger just to get some hydration in.
Yeah, now's not the time to just throw it out the window. No. Do not do it.
No. And then even though I said it could be a good time to give up caffeine is an appetite suppressant. Mm. So potentially drinking coffee if you are.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Crazy. I'm not going to give it up at this time because I just don't want to.
Oh, I'm not giving it up.
One of the few pleasures I'm still enjoying.
Yeah, yeah.
That's when that happens. I'm going out with the virus.
I'll tell you who needs to give up coffee is the person that is. Got a crazy work schedule and drinks coffee all day.
And now they're not needing to do that,
they're not in meetings. They're not like crazy deadlines. The projects are all postponed. Like now you're in the position where you can go, okay, I drink like 7-8 cups of coffee a day. Now is the time to pull back, chill, get some more sleep, recover. It's a great time for your immune system to kind of recover and sleep. Those of you that are in those high pressure corporate jobs, now have a time to kind of just chill a bit more.
I'll give you another one. There's a really good initiative that you can go to @short_black_night_shift on Instagram, and you can shout medical workers a coffee during the time, which is pretty cool because, man, one of the doctors...
How do they do that?
I don't know. You go to the Instagram and they got instructions, and then you can just like donate a little bit of money.
Yeah,
and
right.
It shouts them a coffee.
That's cool.
One of the doctors that we know through the gyms did a 100-hour shift in supporting this. Got off that. So people, like, they are working crazy, crazy hard, and they're doing it with the knowledge that they're putting themselves extremely at risk of also catching the virus. So they're like, yeah, just the heroes we've got at the moment. So if you can go support them, that would be incredible. And I think there's tons of different ways you can do it.
So are they just napping in the rooms between? Yeah.
Yeah, they have just naps. Like taking small they have naps, naps but they? Like you can't be going home.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Can't be having hours. 8-hour shift because they're, you know, it's desperate times.
Yeah, 4 or 5
days. And I think they're saying now in like some countries, it's like nearly a third of the hospital beds are just filled with staff.
Fuck. Oh, because the staff are getting sick from
the
virus.
Yeah, staff get sick. Yeah. They're around it all day.
Yeah. So once they get sick, are they good to go back? Once they recover, do they let them back in? They'd have to.
Yeah, but I think, you know, after isolation and stuff. Yeah, but, you know, it's so new that not many people have, like, fully bounced back.
But they would be the perfect test to see if they can get it back. Like, if once you get it, you're immune to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think they know 100%. But I think the general understanding is you don't usually get it twice. Most of these types of viruses, you know, don't keep getting them. Okay, Trent_Bowers, another good virus question. Expanding on that, what are you doing for your training considering you're not able to use the gym? So for me, probably like so many people listening, I was training for a swim run. Swim run got cancelled. We are still doing a little bit of training for next year's event, but then the beaches got closed.
Yeah.
So really,
everyone knows what happened in Bondi.
Yeah. Everything is just like really out the window. So the training I've been doing for a little bit, I've just been trying to support our gyms at the moment. So I jumped in on the park workouts we're doing, like did the class when we used to offer classes at our gym. So, it's been trying to like support that as much as they can. And I think if you can get some social... I know like this is not the right time, but if you can get some safe social part of your training, I think it's a really good idea. Because, you know, like... You know, all like parties and just like gatherings, everything is cancelled. So, I think it's like a bit of a downer to see if like you don't get any of your social hit. So, if you can get some training that is like safely around or involved with other people, that's what I'm going to be going for. So, I'm really going to be doing probably what our gyms are able to offer at this time.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not, I'm not too married to a training program that I'm stressing about not being able to do it. Instead, fortunately, I have the good fortune that my girlfriend is a gymnastics coach. I'll be working on my handstands and my core, two handstands because they're fun and core because it's just a huge weakness and it'll be a great opportunity to, come out of it with some like better core strength, because as I've started to learn, core strength is tied very closely to back pain, and I have a very weak core and a very painful back. So, you know, put two and two together, it's not that difficult. So, I'll be working on. We'll just be doing some handstand training together, some core training together. But you know, I understand that other people are not in a situation where they can get, you know, high level gymnastics coaching every day, and then. On those days when I'm not doing that is those 30 workouts that I wrote, I'm probably just do one of them just because they're fun and some of them are pretty hard. But yeah, I think right now you just need to get creative. Like we said, you know, just pick stuff that you want to do and enjoy. And yeah, just not be too like stressed about the results, you know, not being like, oh, you know, my chest is shrinking or my bench press is going down. You know, this, it's a really good example right now of why, you know, as when Raf and I were deep in CrossFit, you know, it's the be all and end all. At some point, you know, how we were with CrossFit, you know, people are with powerlifting, people are with weightlifting, people are with bodybuilding. And you want to get, the great thing about CrossFit is you accumulate so many tools in your toolbox and you never get too married to one thing. And even coming out of CrossFit now, we've even learned even more stuff. You know, I did some breakdancing. Mm. Started playing basketball again, and through basketball you learn all these, you know, different gym training that you can do to kind of make you jump higher and all these different rehab movements and stuff like that. And the more kind of things, the less you're kind of dogmatic about your exercise regime, the more tools you have for a situation like this. I can't tell you, like, if me and a high level powerlifter are like, all right, who's going to be the most fit now in the next 30 days of lockdown? I guarantee you I'll come out of there and I'll wipe the floor with them. Mm. Right? Because they only do what, 15 to 20 movements in their training programs. And obviously it's great when you have a gym, and like a lot of these guys have home gyms and they're going to be fine. But it just shows you how, I mean, now it's really just shows you how limited you are and how specific you are with your fitness. And honestly, it's not good. It's not good. Like, you know, there might be more times like this where, you know, you don't have all the resources, you don't have all the equipment, you don't have your spreadsheets and your knee sleeves and your weightlifting shoes, and you're just going to have to adapt and stay fit. And if you don't know how to, it's, what's the point of spending all that time in the gym?
Yes.
You know, it's like, you're not really that healthy or fit. So it's not to, I'm just using obviously powerlifting as an example. It could be anything else, but having more tools in your toolbox for times like this is helpful, especially because, you know, you might end up on a beach island holiday somewhere with no gyms at some point, and you might have to do the same thing. So being creative, not being married to any sort of particular training program, I think is very important.
Now's the time.
Yeah.
Okay, really cool question. Josh Lancaster.92, he got some rec gen gear, and based on our recommendation, he thought it was very quality stuff. He was impressed. What is our favorite item? Okay, I will start. I'm just going to give two. The t-shirt is the best thing that's ever happened. That was the first t-shirt that got us to find out about the company. I think True have a t-shirt made by them as well. It's just unbelievable.
It's the same double shirt. Smell. It's just got a True print on it.
That's the best one. But I have also been using the jacket. Now is the time not
now
to.
It's raining.
Yeah, now is the time not to end up shivering.
Yep.
With all the, you know, the virus going around, so the jacket is a killer. Like, it's not a really hot jacket, so it's not the thing if you're like in the snow or anything like that.
It's not a cold weather jacket.
Yeah, it just like keeps the rain off. Keeps you pretty warm. So if you're in more of a climate like Sydney, it's really good, and people think it looks good.
Well, the technology in it is thermoregulation. So if it's really hot, it tries to cool you down. Mm. And if it's really cold, it tries to heat you up. But obviously, when you try and do both things, you're not going to do one thing extremely well.
Yes.
So it's a good, like, kind of mild weather sort of climate jacket. So it is really good. So my favorite, you know, to start, I was a huge fan of the backpack. The backpack is so useful. It's like the perfect maximum size you'd probably have for a backpack. And because it zips open like luggage, you can pack it in really nicely. And I'm a bit OCD, so I like things really neat and in the right position. I just hate when, you know, things don't have a place. Mm. That just like shits me, because then it could be anywhere and then you can never find it. And I can't tell you, man, growing up. Okay, so let me tell you the story, right? So growing up, I was always wanted a mobile phone. Finally got a mobile phone. If you ask my mom, she's like, I was obsessed with getting my first mobile phone. Anyway, once I got a mobile phone, I was in love with it. I'd play with it all the time. I'd play all the games like Snake to Death. And anyone that got a mobile phone, I'd ask them about it. I was just obsessed with phones. And it was, I reckon in 2 weeks, I lost 3 phones. I remember, I remember we were going to try lounges, like new lounges for the house at Harvey Norman. And, you know, when you try lounges, you sit on lounges, right? So you like jump on, you sit around. And I did that to like 30 lounges. I was like, let's get this one. Let's get that one. Let's get this one. At the end of the lounge trials, my phone was gone. I'm like, fuck, obviously I've sat on these lounges. It slipped out of my pocket and it's gone into the cracks of these lounges. So I spent the next 2 hours in Harvey Norman digging through all the lounges to try and find my mobile phone. Couldn't find it. Devastated, right? Completely devastated. And then ever since then, I made a pact to myself, this like 12-year-old kid, I will never, ever, ever lose my phone again. And since then, I like I always know where it is. I just became pedantic. Because you lose something you love 3 times in 2 weeks, it's traumatic.
Yeah.
It's like traumatic for a child. So I just told myself, like, now you keep amazing track of where those things are. So ever since then, I just became glued to me. Or I just knew at all times that everything had to have a place. Everything goes in some place. And that's why when, you know, I know something's supposed to be there and I put it there and someone moved it and now I can't find it. It makes me crazy. Makes me psychotic. How many more questions we got?
One final question.
Sorry, I didn't even say what my favorite piece of gear was. Yeah, backpack. Probably the backpack. The shorts are really good, but yeah, I think the favorite gear is the backpack.
Final question. From your interview with Zach Pitter, would you ever consider running an ultra event? Maybe on my balcony during this quarantine.
Look, this is probably the only scenario I'd run an ultra is, when I say run an ultra, I mean like walk an
jog.
Ultra, is to, if we went to England and Ross Edgley pulled us aside and he was like, boys, come on, let's do it. I would go for that 24-hour, like, hill run thing that he did. Just for the story.
Right?
Just for the mad story. But I would only do it, obviously, side by side with you and Ross Edgley. Not go out by myself and do it.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. All right, before we get into the movie, or actually it's just a TED Talk of the week, we'll go to the review of the week. So this is from B, an athlete from America. He or she asks, great accents and even better information, all while keeping it entertaining. Highly recommend for all fitness and health enthusiasts. And that is, let me just say, that is the perfect description of the people that listen to this show, an exercise enthusiast. I think we got the both ends, the extreme. Maybe someone just starting exercise, maybe someone who's like a high level athlete, which we know we have. But I think the majority of you out there are kind of similar to us in that you're exercise enthusiasts. You just love exercise and you just want to, you know, be better at it every day. And then last part always goes to the top of my listen now list with new episodes. Also, Lululemon's girl brand. Oh, Lululemon's a girl's brand? ? Even though they gave us 5 stars, maybe he didn't know Lululemon was a girl's brand. Yeah, Lululemon started with yoga tights. And the majority of their sales, their revenue, I mean, you just got to look at the store, right? The male section is like maybe what, 30% of the
shoved
store?
In the corner.
Yeah. I mean, what's the biggest male section you reckon? 35%?
That's a stretch.
30% would be the biggest.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen stores where it's like 10%. It is. It's a female brand. Like, it is just a... The guy stuff is still cool, but they're focused on the women's market. That's just the reality. It's more like, okay, let's create the women's market and the technology because it brings in all our revenue, and then let's just use what works there in the male section. But I mean, with a brand like Rec Gen, they're for men. So anyway, so thank you. If that is you, all you have to do is email in orders@themymuscleproject.com and we'll send you a digital training journal, and we'll also send you any training booster program that's out there as well. And I know I mentioned the 30 workouts for 30 days, for 30 minutes. You guys, if you just tune into the Instagram, you'll be able to download that today at some point. No, you'll be up. No, it'll be up now. So you'll be able to download it at any time. And that's free. Really free. Cool. So TED Talk.
We have a TED Talk this week. I think a lot of people have watched this. I would say in the last week, apparently the Google YouTube algorithm has been pumping it to everybody. But it is called Bill Gates, The Next Outbreak? We're Not Ready. Very short. It's like 6 minutes. I would highly, highly encourage people to go watch it. First of all, it's just a good talk regardless. But it is one of the ultimate I told you so's.
Yeah, I think... Bill Gates, pretty incredible human being. Obviously, once you start making that amount of money, you end up becoming a philanthropist. And he's out there trying to change the world. One of the things that basically the whole thing is based on the fact that, hey, the biggest threat to humanity is like a flu virus. Well, he was right. And he was warning people, he's like, you know, we need to prepare for this in the same way that we're prepared to go to war. We need to prepare to go to war with this virus. We need all these systems in place, blah, blah, blah. We didn't listen. But... what is hilarious, like you said, is the comments. YouTube comments never fails to be one of the most entertaining parts of any YouTube video. So it's actually incredible how witty some trolls are.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So good.
Like I think to myself, you should be extremely proud of yourself. Yeah. Like that level of wit.
You should have your own show.
It deserves 5,500 thumbs up. So worth checking out. Very, very interesting how we continue to ignore the scientists and the smart people of the world. But That is just how human beings are. So
when you watch it, you come away with it realizing this whole thing, you know, would not have been a big deal if we'd prepared really well for it. And if there was like some incredible, awesome action that they took in the first few weeks, like it just wouldn't have been a big deal. It wouldn't have been all around the world.
Well, it's the same way everyone listening to this right now that has been healthy and fit isn't as worried, you know, because they're like, well, I've sort of been preparing general health and fitness. And now, you know, if I was fat and smoking every day, I would be fucking freaking out. I'd be like, oh shit, I'm in the high risk category. But, you know, whether you do have some kind of chronic immune condition or autoimmune disease or whatever, but you're staying healthy and fit, you are looking after your health, you're being proactive about these sort of situations, you do have a better state of mind. It's just a fact. People that are unhealthy, you know, it's a different state of mind. But last thing we'll leave you guys with, we did talk about technology helping you guys get through this. If you are in the fitness industry, I would recommend using TrueCoach. Now is the time. They have extended their free trial from 2 weeks to 30 days, so for a whole month. It's just going to be the easiest way to deliver online training to your clients. I'm very glad we've been using it for the last 2 years with our coaches.
Yeah, we've been absolutely pumping TrueCoach in these last 2 weeks with the virus, but the good thing was we already had heaps of the programs already written in there.
Yeah, and it's just saved us so much time, so much preparation. Our clients know how to use it. Our coaches know how to use it. And we just stayed ahead. It's just been really fortunate. So it's not too late. Now is the time to get on it. It's really easy to use software. And yeah, even if you can just hold on to 10, 15 of your clients and ask them to pay you a bit of a premium during this time to keep your income up, and you just provide the best fucking service you can. Film videos, upload the videos in there. It's got a messaging app, so you can message them all through the app as well. Now is the time. So go to truecoach.co and then is it the code MMP or slash MMP?
truecoach.co/MMP. That's right.
Yeah, and you can get the, it's 30 days now, the trial, and then you get a discount as well when you go there. So check them out and use that stuff. Guys, please stay safe. Please isolate. Only do things that you absolutely need to. Please don't hoard excessive amounts of food. And look after your loved ones. Tell your parents to stay indoors and let's all get through it. And then hopefully, you know, in a month from now that we can get back to the usual sort of shows. Okay, best of luck. Speak to you soon.
See ya.
Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the My Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the My Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themymuscleproject.com/The After Show. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.